All right, it's Thursday night, and you're on Kayak Fishing Radio. I'm Chip Gibson, Tree Hugger. In the house, we have Rob, a bad backcast. Hey, Rob.
Hey, how are you?
Doing all right?
All right.
You've been watching too much hockey, man. You sound like Canadian. Hey?
Hey? All right.
How are those guys doing?
Good. Game 7 tomorrow night.
Game 7. Is this for the Stanley Cup?
No, Eastern. If they win tomorrow, they go to the Stanley Cup.
Oh, okay. All right. Also in the house, we've got Bill Haywood Howard. Hey, Bill.
What's up, Chip?
Oh, man, I'm geeking, man, because we're going fishing this weekend, man.
Buddy.
It's like Christmas Eve, man. I can't get to sleep. So I'm probably going to – the storms are just about past us up here in Atlanta, so I'll probably be out there in the middle of the night loading up the trailer and stuff. So
there you go.
And Greg Becker, Apollo Beach man, how are you?
Hey, what's going on?
Not much, man. How are you tonight?
Doing very well, thanks.
Yeah? Good.
Outstanding.
Awesome. In the chat room, we got Tommy Ellis, the Ghost, Greg Crisp, Hammerhead, a couple of guests. Oh, there's Soccer Dad. He just showed up. David Minnick. I think David was thinking about sneaking down, maybe getting a kitchen pass and coming fishing with us this weekend, too. And Aaron just showed up. So welcome to all of you. Feel free to call in if you'd like, 714-816-4727, Kayak Fishing Radio. We have a page on Facebook, too, Kayak Fishing Radio. You can link up with us there, like our page. And you can follow us on Twitter, Kayak Fish In Radio, because we had too many letters, I guess. So Kayak Fish In Radio on Twitter, and we'll follow you back. So. Who's this Hammerhead saying, go Bruins? Who are the Bruins?
Don't tell me we got to have one of those, you know, like the governor says, well, we'll offer up some shrimp salad for you if you send us down some, you know, whoever wins, blah, 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 the bet thing.
Is that
don't
right?
Tell me we got to start that. I mean, we got to start that now, Greg, or what?
David says he can't hear us. You can't hear us?
Uh-oh.
Turn
on the
speaker. I can hear us.
No, I'm kidding.
Replace the battery in your hearing aid.
Oh.
The old coot. Yak Yak just joined
in.
Say what?
At least he's in the chat room.
Yeah. Bill hasn't made it in there yet. Don't worry, man. We're working on that, man. We're gonna need a special chat room for you. So
you need a big button somewhere.
Big giant button. Find. Bill, push this button to get in the chat room. So all right. So we got a big weekend planned. Memorial Day weekend coming up, and. Having been one of the people who wore the uniform, and the Memorial Day weekend is to remember those who've gone before us and paid the ultimate sacrifice. But I tell you what, man, if you were memorializing me, I wish you'd go fishing. So I'm going to do that. And in fact, I have a deal with a buddy of mine that when I kick the bucket, that they're going to take my ashes, put them in one of the concrete fish havens, stick them in there. And they're going to create my own little reef, and I'm going to fish in forever. So, sound like a plan?
I think okay. My wife already has a plan for my ashes.
Yeah?
She's going to put them in the cat box.
Oh, all right. What's this? David's ice on whiskey. But, yeah, we've got a big game planned for this weekend. We're going to take off tomorrow morning, head down to Cedar Key. We've got another guy from Georgia Kayak Fishing, Brett. And this guy's hardcore. He last time I fished with him, we were fishing on the north end of West Point Lake. And we were putting the kayaks in, and he slipped and fell. It was one of those riprap kind of areas around the put in there, and cut his arm a little bit. He said, "Oh, it kind of hurts." We went fishing for a few hours, and about just after lunchtime, he's like, "Man, I can't paddle anymore. My arm hurts." So we put in the boats, and he went home, called me later that night. He had broke his arm, but it didn't stop him from fishing. So he was hardcore about it. And so Brett's going to head down with us. He's in the cabin right next to us there at Pirates Cove. And Bill is going to show up. You're going to show up Saturday morning, right, Bill?
Yeah, we'll be there early Saturday morning. I'm going to stay with my my buddy that lives in up in Land O'Lakes, up in that area.
Uh-huh.
And we'll just drive up early Saturday morning.
Where are we gonna launch out of? Is it a secret or can we say it?
Well, no. That's what I've been thinking
Dude,
about
secret.
Tonight.
It's secret. don't ask. It's secret. we'll launch out of somewhere on the water near the edge of the water, and then probably paddle to somewhere where there's more water. And
I got to know where to meet you, man. I can't just home in on your radio signal.
Yeah. If we want to target redfish and drum, I think we'd probably be better off launching from Shell Mound and then launching, you know, going out from there. We'll see plenty of drum. There's a couple really nice coves that I know that'll be holding redfish, because that tide's pushing up. Sunrise is at 6:30, and it's almost a 2-foot tide by then, so it will have pushed up on the oyster bars enough where they will be up, you know, cruising along the edges, and we might, you know, see a few tailers that way.
Right.
But they'll definitely be there. And it, you know, now if you wanted to try for tarpon, there's another spot that we would put in and go to an area that we call the dark side of the moon.
Ooh.
Because it looks like the dark side of the moon.
Sounds scary. I'm in.
That's we've seen tarpon there. My buddy was just there last weekend and they saw plenty of tarpon. It's a little bit of a paddle, but not too much. Not too much compared to what we're going to be doing if we go for the redfish spot.
Yeah. I say we go to the first place we go just to get it started off. And I realize what happened on our second trip to the Goon is that we didn't bring the gator head with us. Right? We had the gator head with us on the first trip to the Goon. And the gator don't take no crap. So we didn't have the gator with us on the second trip. So if I'm going to bring the gator head, so we're good. So let's get the day off right. Let's go after a big ugly right off the bat, man. Now, I'm looking at the tides here, Bill. And Saturday, mm-hmm. Cedar Key, right? Now, is there a conversion mm-hmm. for where we're going to be? Like, is it how much time difference is it?
No, not really.
Or the
not
station?
Really.
Okay, so not big. So now it's saying low tide at 5:14 a.m.
Right.
Okay, and sunrise at 6:34.
6:34.
And high at 11:19.
Yep.
And that's... Now, the low is 1.5, so there's only, the high is 3.6, so we're only talking about a 2-foot tide in that whole time period.
Yeah, which is not the greatest, but...
No, It gets better
it'll be
as...
It'll be enough for the drum. See, you're gonna be looking for the drum around the high tide because...
Right.
The, oyster bars flood and they push on the tops of those, so you'll see them, you know, right around that high tide. And plus we've also got a major feeding period between 10:12 and 12:12.
Okay,
that's key, but
the major period
coincides Yeah, and it's not at the best time either, because that tide, you know, that tide peaks at 11.
Right.
So it's right smack in the middle of the feeding period, and, you know, your tide's going to start slowing down. It might not be that great of a major feeding period.
Right. All right. I know Redfish Chuck was on there earlier, but I think D just showed up. Is that you, D?
Yes, it is.
Yay, the mermaid's back. Hang on. They're so happy to see you.
Oh, hi.
How you been?
You can't see me. I've been great.
Good.
Super busy, but around.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds good.
Miss you all.
Well, yeah. Yeah, so, yeah, we were just chatting. We were talking about, I know Chuck was in there just a minute ago, and I didn't say anything to him. I guess he hung up, but,
aww.
Yeah. But he'll call back. He'll be back with us. There he is, right there. Hang on. Hold on, I'll make him feel right at home. Redfish Chuck.
What's up?
You were there just a second ago, man. You hung up on me.
Nature called, dude. I had to take care of the little one.
Oh, okay. No problem, man. So we got
no pee on the walls this time, Chuck.
No pee on the walls this time.
Dude's got a good pump,
right,
man.
He does.
Holy
that
cow.
Kid's got a, I'm telling you, the plumbing's working.
It's like a Verado, man. The little hole coming out the back of a Verado there. So
yeah, pretty impressive.
Awesome, man. All right. How you been,
I'm
Chuck?
Jealous. Awesome. Awesome.
Good. Good. So we were just chatting. We've got a little mini boondoggle this weekend. We're headed over to Cedar Key. And we were just chatting about the tides. And now, Bill, you said the major movement. Is this some kind of like animal movement moon thing? Is that what that is?
Yeah, that's the major feeding period, the major solunar period.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and that's between 10/12 and 12/12.
Okay, so that's, and with the high tide being right in there, you think that might add a little,
well,
little mojo,
yeah, I mean,
to
you're
it?
Not gonna have a lot of a water movement during that time. The water's gonna be slowing down.
Right.
And plus it being in the middle of the day.
Sun's gonna be overhead.
It'd probably be the best major. I mean, I'd prefer a major at a different time with a little bit different tide, but, you know, you never know. You just never know.
So now this place, Shell Mound, we can get out at low tide there, or do we have to sit in the mud?
Oh, yeah, there'll be plenty of water.
Because I know behind the Pirates Cove there, you can't launch from there at low tide.
No, and it's, and I've stayed there. And it's not very conducive. It's got kind of a high shore.
Right.
And the docks are real rickety, so I wouldn't walk out on them at all.
Right. All about safety there. All right, cool.
No, there's a really good launch spot if we choose to fish in that area that's just down the street, you know.
Okay.
Nice boat ramp.
So are you just going to fish Saturday, or are you going to be able to fish more than one day?
Yeah, it looks like probably just Saturday. I'll have to take a rain check for Sunday.
Uh-huh.
Sunday, the weather's not looking too good. If you check the winds, they're supposed to really pick up. And, you know, there's not a lot of places to hide from the wind out there.
Really? I thought it was coming out of the east.
Let me look at that.
Check the weather here, folks.
See, you know, I can't find the chat room, but I can find Windfinder.
Yeah, Windfinder's
the ticket. So
yeah, the winds are out of the east, but 7, 8, and so it starts building all day. You know,
really?
gust to 10. I mean, it might not be too bad, but for where we want to paddle,
right.
So the areas I have in mind, it might be a little bit. But we'll see how it goes. See how
cool.
It plays out.
All right. And then you'll hook us up and tell us some other places. Actually, the weather looks bad for fishing. I could always drag the clone and the kayaks down to Crystal River and let them swim around, and we could do some diving, that kind of area.
Mm-hmm.
That's always fun. First time we took him down there, he had just started his dive certification. So I think he was about 9, and we put on just our snorkeling gear. We got a pontoon boat, went out. We were just over by Kings Bay there, and got in the water, man, and these two big old manatees came up underneath him, man, and they just kind of rolled up, picked him up out of the water. Thought he was like a little manatee, but he was freaking. All right. We got a new caller coming in here. Area code 805. You're on Kayak Fishing Radio.
Hey, what's going on, guys? This is Nick, a.k.a. Mad Cat.
It's the Mad Cat. Nick from California.
What's that, man?
Where are you from, Nick?
I'm from Central Coast, California. I live in Los Osos.
Yeah, I said that in Southern, man. It was, yeah, I said that. So Nick, when you joined us last week, you were headed out camping and going to do some fishing. How did you have any luck?
I did. I got in that situation all of us hate to be in. I got almost ready to go, about 45 minutes till work knocked off, and my wife called me and decided she wanted to go. My original plan was to leave the house and head up to my spot for camping at about 5:30. I didn't get out of the house until 8:30. And first night was a little bit of a wash, but I got out on the second day and got in a couple hours of good fishing.
Uh-huh.
We actually managed to rent a kayak for my wife. She actually beat me to the first fish.
Huh.
Oh, girl, go.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's called a little, I'd say maybe 5-inch
crappie. Nick, here at Kayak Fishing Radio, we're in touch with our feminine sides. We've learned to fish like girls.
All right. Because,
hey, there's nothing wrong with that.
No. See, you need to, next time you're visiting out the east side here, we'll get you down to the Space Coast, and you can fish with Dee Kaminsky. Dee's on the air with us tonight. Otherwise known as the Mermaid, or realkayakfishing.com. And Dee is the epitome of fish like a girl. In fact,
I hear about her killing them reds and them snorts.
Yeah, she's only got like how many redfish have you put on the board so far, Dee? Like 1,182 of them, or something like that.
God, I don't know. You're supposed to be keeping track of that. You're the master of the numbers.
Is that right? Yeah. So let me see where's my Kayak Wars list here. Yeah,
and I didn't update it for the last 3 days. So.
Okay. So we're 3 days behind, but we're still in the top 10 with 1,455 points. And when we pull up the team here, yours truly is still down in the hole with 10 points. That's a catch average of 10. we've got Bill has put 245 points on the board.
Yeah, with, Bill.
An average of 12.89. Chuck has put 80 points on the board with an average of 11.43. Chuck's been kind of swaying from the faith. He's been out there in those power boats lately. But you're going to fix that, right, Chuck?
Absolutely.
Chuck was hankering for some kayak fishing. I saw that on one of his posts here lately. Now, Rob is just Rob has refused to conform to standards, and he has not posted anything. But I think he's just waiting. He's going to come around here pretty soon and just wear us all out. So, but I saved Miss D for last. But we're talking 1,120 points, an average of 12.87 points. And we'll go to the species count here. We have D with 26 red drum, 37 trout, 9 flounder, 14 sheep's head, and 1 pompano. What's up with that 1 pompano, D? Come on. 87
well,
fish on the board.
I'll go back out there tomorrow, okay? Sorry, I didn't know it was like
I knew when I asked you that it would just be a total that after those guys dissed you last year for kayak fish for kayak wars that
yeah, man.
I knew that you were just gonna do this. I had faith in you. D was just gonna wear them all out.
Yeah.
Now, Haywood's doing good with 19 fish on the board, 13 reds, 3 trout, 2 snooks, 1 shark. I love that picture of the shark, by the way, there, Bill. That was great, man. That was a 50-inch shark if I ever saw one. Nice leader.
Yeah, it was good size. We were getting my cameraman wasn't getting too close. He had his son in the back of the kayak. So,
who was taking a picture of that? Was that Greg?
That would
that
be
Greg,
me.
Greg, yeah.
Greg,
yeah,
like,
that was
nah.
before. We let Junior Flywheel handle the backup camera, and we see the result of that lately.
So yeah, we all fish like a girl when it comes to fishing, especially trout fishing. Now D, I must say that I haven't really seen a big giant trout from you yet this year.
Consider trout or giant?
Well, you know what, you come up with like some 57 inchers every now and then.
It's really strange because you know how we like to log our fish and see when you're expecting what fish to hit when in season.
Yeah.
And the bigger ones, it seems like we're like a month off of the normal schedule that I'm used to.
Yeah.
And I was just talking about this. I just caught my first mangrove snapper the other day.
Really?
And I'm normally catching a bunch of them already at this point in time. And I'll tell you, that mangrove snapper was only about 4 inches long.
You kind of want a 6-inch spook, right?
Yeah, right. And so I think it's just a slow season this year. I don't know what's going on.
Huh.
But, yeah, if you look at the sizes of the trout, I think I'm second in size. I think there's I caught a 29.75er in there.
I know, that was a monster, D. I'm looking at the one from the 20th here that's a 25.5, and that fish is huge.
That was the other day, yeah.
Yeah, that's a nice fish.
Yeah, big and that was a complete accident. Well, not really, but...
D just throws
that was
the fish right there.
He's a giant chunk bait I threw out there. I had caught a ladyfish, and I said, you know what, I'm going to see if I can pop this off the bottom. And I cut a chunk out praying I wasn't going to catch a catfish on it, and what I decided to do was jig it. And that puppy hit so hard. It was crazy. It was a great fight. It was fun. I didn't hear that.
Say that again, Bill.
That was Nick. He can't walk to the car without tripping over a giant trout.
No.
And
actually, D was like, she was walking to her car and saw a Florida Panther.
Oh, yeah. That was
Panther
great.
Sighting.
Was that Greg with me?
I don't,
Greg
I don't,
Chris, was he with me that day?
No, I don't think it was Greg. It was
Oh, it was a buddy, another native endorsed guide. It was Nathan
right.
Raycroft. He was with me that day.
Yeah.
But ironically, a week ago, I was walking out of Pelican Island, and there was a black bobcat that walked across. And I went, this is just weird.
Yeah.
The next thing I need is an alligator walking across, right?
Just go to the south end of the goon. They're all down there.
Well, that's where I'm going tomorrow.
They're all down there. There's a couple of biggins down there, too.
Right.
Rob, you still out there?
Yeah.
How big do you think that one gator was? It was eating that, whatever it was out there.
Oh, God. I would say at least 10 to 12, maybe.
That's what I'm thinking, too, man. That was a big old gator. And I don't know what
Chuck
he was.
There?
Huh?
Chuck? Is Chuck on?
Yeah, Chuck.
Yeah.
What's
yeah.
the name of that alligator they keep seeing?
Oh, that's Ninja Gator.
Ninja Gator?
Yeah, that's
See?
Ninja Gator.
We
was
got
that the
names
one,
for all the gators out there.
Was that the one we saw eating that day, Chuck?
Who knows, but I just call them Ninja Gator. They're all Ninja Gators to me out there.
Yeah. Okay, hold on. I Greg, I know you've been in here, man. I'm sorry I didn't unmute you. You there?
Which one?
Greg Crisp.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry,
dude.
I saw you.
Sound. That's okay.
I saw you guys were having some issues with the sound on the chat room.
Yeah.
So welcome.
Yeah, it stopped downloading for some reason, so.
Oh,
well.
So, all right. So yeah, we're all, I mean, is there anybody else got big fishing plans for the weekend? Raise your hand.
I'm going out again this weekend.
Yeah, you are, Nick? Where are you going?
Oh, I'm going to go camping over at near Lake Lopez out here. I'm going to go camping up on High Mountain Road and try to swing by the lake for some day use.
Right.
I can't afford their camp fees out here, man. It cost me $64 to camp for 2 days.
Really?
Yeah, and also Miento was expensive.
Wow.
I'm going up to one of the little local campsites. It's free, and I'm going to backpack there, and then I'm going to take my truck down to the lake with the kayak on it, see if I can get me some more largemouth.
Cool.
Did you stay at a mom and pop's, or was it like a state or a national park?
Nos is a county park, I believe.
Wow, and it was $64 for 2 days?
Oh, yeah, and she was nice and didn't charge me for my dog the second day. It would have been $68.
Oh. They charge you for your dogs?
Yes, $4 a pet.
Oh, my God.
Why?
It's California. They charge you for everything.
I guess. Holy crap. I mean,
yeah,
I think in Florida, I've stayed in a lot of state parks in Florida, and I think that probably the most expensive one in the state would be in the Keys, like Long Key and what's the other one down south? Bahia Honda. Those are like $32 or $36 a day, and those are like the highest ones. On average, around Florida, the state parks are right around $20 a night. National parks are even less. They're about 17. I don't know, man. Wow, $64 to stay in a county park for 2 days? Yowzer. Pretty expensive, man.
Yeah, the lake that I used to live near in Central California, they charged you $15 to get in just to have a picnic for your car, and then another $10 per boat you wanted to launch, whether or not it had a motor.
$10?
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Dang. Well, hey, Haywood found the chat room.
Haywood.
I can't even get there.
I'm so stupid.
No, don't feel bad. I can't even find it. I've been trying for 30 minutes.
I gave up like 3 months ago. The best way I've found to camp in California is to get one of the green permits that allows you to camp in state parks for free. It also acts as your fire path. And I think it might be $45 or $50 for a year, but then you're able to camp in any of the state parks at the non-regulated campgrounds
right.
for free, or just the cost of the pass. And so I buy a green pass every year, and then I can camp. Usually there's a state park within 10 miles of a lake, usually. So I just do that. I'm big into no impact camping. I actually, we use hammocks instead of a tent, and it's just, a lot easier on us that way.
It is if you're not a tree hugger. Tree huggers would say that you wrapping a cord around a tree would injure them.
Actually, we do not use cords. We use thick nylon webbing just to avoid that.
All right. I'll let you off on that one. Now, that's cool. That's cool. Hey, Nick, did you check out our Tuesday night West Coast show?
I didn't get a chance to this week. It was actually my plan to call in, but I missed it, so I figured I'd call in and say hi to all you lovely people instead.
Okay, cool, man. Nick's a homeboy from Georgia, displaced to California. So, yeah, you have to get out there, man. Get into some salt with those guys, man. They got some big fish right off the coast there.
Oh, it's in my plans. They're forecasting. I think the largest I saw was 25 to 30 knot winds off the coast this week, though, so I won't be out in that.
No, that's normal, man. You have to. Yeah. Yeah, you gotta get with Isaac, and he's gonna fill you in on that one, man. It's like deadliest catch when you go kayak fishing out there. So, and then they have things called great white sharks that like to gnaw on. What color is your kayak, man?
My kayak's green, but my surfboard's white, and I've seen them sitting there too. So. Trust me, I'm acquainted with them, and I would much rather not be.
people aren't shark food, man. They taste you and then they spit you out. So, but anyway.
Yeah, but problem is usually when they do that, your leg falls off or something.
Yep.
No biggie, man. What do you want to live forever? Come on. You'd be out there surfing and fishing with them, man. Who's this? Tommy saying he was camping north of Cambria on Highway 1.
Oh, yeah. Right
yeah.
up the street from me.
Yeah. That's Tommy Ellis there, Ghost 1066. Puts together some nice lures and hunting calls, turkey calls and stuff like that. Yeah.
And art, too, man. Tommy's a good artist.
He is.
Like,
I was checking out his bucket list.
He's good, man.
Yeah. I was checking out his bucket list, and he needs to come to Florida. And
Tommy needs to put his link on the chat room real quick.
Yeah. Tommy, put up your link to your website there.
Because I like turkeys.
Yeah, he's got some real pretty calls too, man. Box calls. You got the Osceolas down your way, man. Yep.
Yes, sir. I've killed a number of them.
They look a little skinnier than the eastern turkeys we get up here.
They are.
Got some right down the road from us. There's a big old field, and they've been strutting around out there. A couple of Jakes and old Tom. There he is. Followingghost.blogspot.com. Thank you, Tommy. Get some more people looking at your, checking out your website there. So, now I got to go back over to Dee for a minute. Dee, so what have you been up to? Besides,
I've been fishing.
You've been fishing?
Yeah.
You must have been fishing a lot because you didn't even put up any of your exploits on Facebook or nothing like that. So,
oh God, you get tired, you know. I have so many photos. If I sat there and posted all the photos, I'd be in bed by 1 a.m. It's just so much, you know. And obviously with the counts of fish that I've been putting up, you know, I'm lucky that I'm even catching them and able to record them, because with the clients, you know, you're taking photos of what they're doing. You don't have time for your own fishing, you know.
Right.
And then on top of it, I don't like to fish when I have a client if I'm teaching them how to fish. I only fish if they go, what are you doing? Why aren't you fishing? You should be fishing. And then even then I feel guilty. You know, because you want to watch them and you want to make sure they're happy and they're catching their fish, and maybe there's a technique that they can learn or something else that they can brush up on, some new ideas and whatnot. So it's just been really, really busy. But this next couple weeks I'm going to be slowing down. So if anybody wants to go out, give me a call. Sheep's head everywhere. Oh, my God.
Are they schooling up like you were talking about?
They're mating, so if you find one, you'll find another. And you will find some pockets of schooled sheep's head. And they're really easy to catch if you know what you're doing, obviously.
Right.
I've been catching them left and right. But they're stupid fish, but they're great fight. You know, once you get them hooked up, you're set to fight this guy and bring him in. But I'll tell you what, I've never been poked so many times in my life, because their dorsals and their pecs, you know, all their fins are so sharp that if they fall, like they've been falling off my ruler when I've been trying to measure them. I don't even know why I do what I do, but I try to put them on the ruler, take the photo, and they'll jump off, you know, trying to get that last breath, and they'll land on my foot, in my hand. I mean, it's like an arrow going through your hand. It's crazy. But
yeah, I think that's crazy. No, they got some pretty nasty spines too. They will get
right.
you.
But
not
my
to mention,
thought was,
you don't put your fingers in their mouth.
Oh, no, no, never, never, ever. But I did find out, you know, the fish grips that I use are those $14, $15 ones, the
uh-huh.
fish grips. If you can fit that in the sheep's head's mouth to begin with, you know he's over 15, 16 inches.
Wow.
If you can't get that grip in his mouth, just throw him back in the water.
Throw him back. Okay, that's good to know.
Yeah. So, yeah, they're schooling way more than the redfish, obviously. So I've been putting a lot of points on the board with them, obviously, more than the redfish lately. And the redfish seem to be a lot smaller this year at this time of year. Last year they were just, you know, 30 inches and up. I mean, just over slot and beautiful. And schooling. So it's been really a challenge to find those reds. So I decided, you know what, sheep's head are here. Client wants to go check those out, learn about them, and we went hog wild, and it's endless sheep's head.
Cool.
Same point? Point count.
Yeah.
That's the point.
Yeah, there
yeah.
you go.
Yeah.
Right. And as far as the client's concerned, he's catching fish. I mean,
oh, my God. I loved it. Absolutely
yeah.
loved it.
Oh. That's it. Is that little red
Praise.
Fish Chuck?
Yeah, it's Mini Chuck.
Mini Chuck.
Say hi to the kayak fishing world, little Chuck.
Little Chuck caught his first fish before he turned two.
Yeah, he did.
That's awesome, man. Oh. Well, that's pretty cool, D. But we got to get back down and fish again. So, and I'm like, so jonesing for a native now. And I was listening to the other guy's show. I think, I don't know if it was you, Rob, or it was Mark's show last night. But you guys were talking about picking a kayak. You know, somebody asked about, I think it was Stan. He asked about, you know, picking out a kayak and stuff, and everybody gives the good advice to take a kayak out and paddle it, you know, demo days and everything. But I think after having several pieces of plastic now, it's more important that you take it out and fish out of it before you buy it, because you buy the kayak to go fishing in, not to just paddle it around. So I think that I would rent a kayak or something. I mean, now that I've been around and paddled a bunch of different kayaks and been fishing with different folks and stuff, but I had almost had a deal set up with a guy to trade out a piece of plastic for a Native 12, and he backed out on me at the last minute. So,
what were you going to trade him?
I was going to give him the barge.
Wow.
Well, you know, I have something to say about that because, I mean, yes, I'm endorsed by Native,
okay,
but you got to go out and paddle every kayak that you think is going to work in your criteria,
yeah,
what you think is going to work for you. And then, above and beyond, you also, even if it's a used kayak, you want to be able to know where you want to put any of your equipment. If you already are buying a used kayak and someone else already has their Scotty or Ram mount or whatever placed where they like it, you
oh, yeah,
may not like it. So you're not going to want to undrill it because you've got holes in your kayak. So trying to find the least accessorized kayak that's used is the best thing to buy.
Yeah.
But most kayaks nowadays are coming with the track mounts, so you can just slide, you know, whatever accessory you want and position it in whatever place you can. But there's always the exception to that rule, you know, like the anchor trolley or something, you know. So, again, go out, check them all out, make
mm-hmm.
a decision, because it is an investment, you know, and not the hate to say it, but a lot of the better kayaks are a little bit more expensive than the quick ones that you buy and just, you know, go out and rip apart. So.
Right. Now, this one was actually, yeah.
There's a, if you're in the market, there's a company called Santa Cruz Kayaks.
I'm not going to go there, Bill. Not going to go there.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay. Well,
no, I know what I know up. What I want. Actually, if I have my druthers, I'd have a Native for doing the backwater stuff and the flat stuff, just like we do in the Goon and all, and then.
Mm-hmm.
When I got down to Pensacola area, Panama City and all, it'd be just like Linda Cabot and them with their little Hobie Outbacks, because as soon as you push off from the beach, you got plenty of water under your keel, and all you got to do is paddle out offshore to fish out there, and it's easy to troll for the kings and stuff like that. And, I mean, I'm cool with my Growler for just kind of an all around. I mean, it's fine for it's just a little too long. I mean, it's long, mm-hmm. so it's easier to paddle, but I don't know. I'm getting to the point where that seat in the Native it's just so inviting. It's like a lazy boy looking at you, you know, saying, "Bring your beer over here and sit down." So,
oh, you ought to try that.
You're going to wish you had
seat.
One.
A pelican seat?
Oh, man, that thing will make you beg for a Native, let me tell you. It's riveted into the back, and it's about as hard as it comes.
Yeah. Yeah, I just look at that seat, that Native, and it's like, I mean, I think I could sit in that for a while. And then I could stand up in that boat a little bit easier, and I do. It's not so much the standing up and all, because I could do that on my Prowler or on my Trident. It's just the sitting back down that winds up being a crash. I'm hearing some feedback there from somebody.
Oh, sorry, that was me. I'm listening
no worries,
to the weather
man.
Radio. Just peaked up.
No worries.
This weekend.
All right. So, let's see. We're getting around about our time here. So let's start up at the top there, and I think that's Rob. Rob, are you fishing this weekend, bro?
Absolutely, man.
What are you going to be doing?
I'm going out Saturday night.
You gonna check out those new docks that you found at your last mission?
No, we're going back to Old Faithful and seeing if we. And my buddy Will might be coming up from Sarasota Saturday night, so we'll go out and have some fun with that. And then I'm going Monday morning.
Okay.
And I'm not sure where I'm going yet. I got to look at the weather and everything for Monday. Still a little bit too far out.
Right.
But I forget what I was going to tell you something, and it just slipped my mind.
All right, I'll come back around to you.
Yeah. If I remember, I'll go,
Okay. All right. And Bill, I know what you're doing this weekend, at least Saturday. So,
yes, sir.
So we're gonna meet there, and I got your phone number. You got mine?
Yes, sir, I do.
Okay, so yeah, so we'll talk tomorrow night, I guess. Once
yeah,
we get down there.
I'll give you a call tomorrow.
Okay, that'll be cool. Cedar Key. Oh, and for Rob and the other guy, I got new kayak to raise stickers in. I didn't get a chance to get to the post office today, but I'll get those out to you guys. So, some new Kayak Fishing Radio stickers, and send them, give them out. D, are you fishing this weekend? You been fishing so much, you're going to take a day off?
No, actually, my day off was today.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
So you got trips all weekend?
No, like I said, it's been slowed down. And so if anybody wants to go, let me know. But tomorrow is definitely a day on. I was originally going to go to the no motor zone, but I think I'm going to hold off on that. That's across from the Mosquito Lagoon area, Chuck knows, by Port Canaveral. But
right.
I think I'm going to hold up on that one for a little bit. Rain doesn't look too good. Thunderstorms and stuff happening, so I'm just going to kind of stay over here so I can get home quick.
Stay close.
But the weekend is quiet. As soon as all these people leave, I'll be back out there again every single day. I hate fishing weekends because of the boaters and whatnot.
Right.
It's just, it's no fun. But being in a kayak, like for those sheep's head stuff we were talking about, that's one of the best things in the area that I'm in is I can get to any of these places to get some reds, some snook, and some sheep's head because the boats can't get in there. We're looking at like 1 foot of water. So it's nice and quiet, and the fish aren't pressured, and it's always a good thing. So all depending on wind, I might be on this weekend all weekend long, but we'll see. But tomorrow's
right.
a definite.
You seen any snook?
Yeah, I actually caught with a client. He caught one. Didn't actually boat it, but it was a really great show. It was fun. We're like a month off on everything, like I was saying, so I haven't actually seen like the schooling snook that we have in the Sebastian Inlet area. On the flats there, they seem to be in singles and kind of hiding in deeper holes if you can see them and be quiet.
Right.
Boats just don't have a clue. But
right.
the kayaker, if you can sneak up and kind of look down, you'll see the snook go underneath you and not literally spook them. So you can back off a bit and do everything that you can in terms of trying to land them. I've tried several times. I think we talked about that the last time I was on 2 weeks ago. But yesterday's snook were just everywhere in this one canal, and they just snub you. They look at you and go, what the hell are you doing here? Nah, I'm going this way. You know?
That big bottom lip hanging out like they're pouting at you or something.
Yeah, they're abused snook, you know. You just kind of let them go and let them do their thing, and then hopefully if you can have a chance to get out there before sun up, and that's the problem. I'm not a night fisher person, so I don't have the opportunities to be on the water at 5:30 when, but just before the sun comes up. Those are the fish that you want to catch. Those snook will eat everything you give them. But how do you pull them out of the mangroves at that point? Because you're in this mangrove, it's like a canal or channel for boats to go through.
Right.
And they like hiding in there because it's deeper.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they'll tie you up in those mangroves, too.
Oh, every time.
Yeah.
Every time. So... Oh. Anyway, yeah, so I'll be fishing as normal, but again, anybody wants to go, send people my way, come my way, let's have a good time.
Okay. All right, and it looks like Nick dropped off the line. Nick, if you're still listening, man, good luck for your trip this weekend. Tight lines. And Redfish Chuck, man, what are you up to this weekend, man? You working in the store or are you going out?
Saturday I'm off. I got my oldest son, Trey, has his second birthday party. We'll be having that out at a local park. We've got a big freshwater lake there, so I'll be toting along a kayak with me for sure and trying to get him on his first kayak fish now. So that'll
uh-huh.
be cool.
Very cool.
And then, Sunday night, I think if I can get a daddy pass, I'm going to go and fish the port at night for mangrove snappers and triple tail and snook and other various creatures that like to go bump in the night. And then Monday, knocking on wood, the wind lays down, I might be going tuna fishing again.
Oh, I don't want to hear it, man.
Sorry, buddy.
Okay. Well, good luck to you on that one, man. That's great fishing there. Area code 707, is that you, Nick? Did you come back in?
That's Spike.
No way.
Sorry about that.
Oh, my gosh.
What's
Spiker.
Going on with Kayak Fishing Radio, you guys?
Dude, we're like Walmart, man. We're spreading out in all the little towns.
I've been seeing it, and I'm so sorry I've been out of the loop. Let me say hi to everybody. I just got to my desk, and I have been swamped. Again, I'm in the fishing business, and I'm doing it from a desk. So as the weeks and months go on, I hope to have a little more consistent participation on the show. I'm hearing about snook and snapper, and I'm heading to Puerto Rico in a couple of weeks.
Sweet.
So yeah, I might be looking for both those species. They got a lot of mangrove forests going on there, and
the Kubera. Might hook up with Kubera.
Is there Kubera snapper there in the surf?
I think there's Kubera. Well, you have to get out on the reef for the Kubera.
Yeah,
then.
But still, nobody talks about any of that. Nobody's talking about fishing on the beach or anything. So I figured I'd book
there's
a
tarpon.
Couple of trips.
Tarpon?
What's that?
There's
yeah,
tarpon
and snook fishing. That's a big to-do there.
Absolutely.
So I'm excited. We're taking an actual vacation.
Does what are you going to say, Dee?
Does the Tampa area have snook over on the beaches right now?
Yeah, they're starting to show up. Of course, you know, our numbers were depleted really bad, but yeah, they're out there now, Dee.
South, down Sarasota and south, there's a lot of snook on the beach down there, man.
Yeah, the last time I was down there, I think, was May, and that was one of the fish I caught was snook.
Cool.
It's been a long time. I could use some skinny water fishing.
Yeah, well, Dee said she's got some slots open this weekend, so you need to head over her way.
The timing. I'm looking forward to it. I think I'm going to end up coming out to Florida here sooner than later, and it's long overdue. You know, besides the fishing stuff, I mean, I got a lot of family there, Fort Lauderdale, Boca. There are spikes in Florida.
There are spikers in Florida, huh?
None of them fishing, though.
No way. How can you live in Florida?
Whole other generation.
Fish?
What can I tell you?
Oh, okay. All right. Well, it's good to hear from you, Spike.
Hey,
I mean,
thanks.
You got to join Isaac on Tuesday night, 7 o'clock.
I'm going to do that, and I should be able to knock it out next week. He's got a couple weeks under his belt already, doesn't he?
Yeah, yeah. They've been talking about springers. And
I appreciate you all keeping me on the invitation list, you know. It keeps it right in front of my plate.
Just spamming you, man. You're either going to hook up
or that's a beautiful thing. It's spreading the word. You know, I've been given a lot of thought lately. I'm always trying to write articles that haven't been written 50 times over.
Right.
And the social networking thing, it's at every level, from where we're at right now to the Facebook and Twitter. It just, everything is changing so quickly. Not really changing. We used to say things are changing, but now you blink and things are changed.
Yeah.
And I don't think that our sport would be where it is if it wasn't for this level of communication. And, you know, we were able to build.
Getting out and about, meeting folks, and going fishing with them and stuff, that's awesome.
Well, I've always said that, you know, fishing was always a hobby until kayak fishing came around. And and then it really became a lifestyle. And the great thing is it doesn't matter if you make money or you don't. You can still be a kayak fisherman.
Right.
You know, and you go from fishing 10, 20 days a year on a good year to, and everything gets better. I've never seen anybody, like if it was any other sport, somebody playing racquetball or going to basketball games, playing, but whatever it might be, you do it 10, 20 days a year, it's good. You do it 50 days a year, you got a problem at home. With kayak fishing, it's just the opposite. You know, you fish 50 days a year and all of a sudden home life is better. I've seen that happen. I'm not just ranting.
No, you're not. And one thing, Columbus Day, man. We've got a boondoggle. We're starting to look at doing a boondoggle in Charleston, South Carolina. So, folks that are listening, anybody who's up for it. Get to Charleston, South Carolina on Columbus Day, and if we know about it, if you need a ride from the airport or whatever, we'll pick you up. I think we're going to be – we're two different places. We're either, I don't know if I'm saying it right. Edisto, it's spelled Edisto. Like, you know, if you're from California, you'd see it and it'd say, oh, it's Edisto Beach.
Modesto without an
M. Yeah, something like that. But it's Edisto. It's about 50 minutes south of Charleston. It's a kind of a nice place. It's out. There is a beach. It's right out on the Atlantic. There's kind of an inlet, maybe a little saltwater marsh area. And there's another place. It's just a little bit north of Charleston Harbor, which is the Mount Pleasant, I think, is the area there. And there's Copahee Bay, and there's some other little bays in there, or sounds, whatever they call them up there. But we're thinking about the folks from YakAngler.com, Kayak Fishing Radio, all making the pilgrimage up to the Mid-Atlantic and fishing with our friends there. So going after some big reds, maybe some sheepies, and having some fun. So
that community, it's really great to hear this stuff.
Yeah, and so we're calling them boondoggles. We had our first boondoggle on President's Day, and we went to Little Talbot Island, so we're going to go up the coast a bit. Maybe we'll get a boondoggle out to Cali, man. No.
I love the idea. I love the idea. There was something that I was thinking about. I hope you don't mind my bringing it up. I was talking to that cousin of mine who made the kayak fishing video.
Right.
And we're going to make another video. And he said, Denny, why don't you talk to some people and see if anybody's got any footage out there so we can include other people catching fish so
right.
They're not looking at your ugly face. He was talking about me the whole time on this video. And I said, can you really do that? Blah, blah, blah. And he said that even the footage people are shooting with their phones now
right.
is better than what we made our video with, which was the best at the time 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he said the technology has changed so much. And I thought, wouldn't that be cool to put out another video that actually had people from all the fisheries everywhere doing
that
stuff in
it? That would
be
cool.
Yeah. So if you got anything, I don't know, email it to – no, actually, you can't email it. So I guess just drop me an email, spike@kayakfishing.com, or pull a phone number off the website and give me a holler. And because I think that would be real cool. We're just in the beginning stages with it. But it is something that'll get done, and I think that would be very, very cool. I mean, a lot of people get stuff while they're out on the water that you just can't go out and fish for.
Okay. Yeah, we'll pass the word on all the shows. And
thanks.
Have folks start bombarding you with.
I wish. I think that'll be fun, though. It's funny because since he brought it up, I hadn't given it much thought until just now. So I thought I'd pop the question. But the more I think about it, it sounds like a real cool thing.
Very cool. So.
I'm actually getting ready to start doing a bunch of filming, Spiker, so I'll send you a bunch of stuff.
There you go. Where are you shooting?
I'm shooting everything from offshore fish, from Dorado to tunas and stuff, and big tarpon off the beach to inshore stuff, too.
Nice, nice.
My,
so
one
that's
of my
good. You got a boat to run you around?
Yeah, one of my coworkers just picked up the 3D GoPro system.
Uh-huh.
So I'm going to try. I'm going to do some 3D filming for Big Beach Tarpon. I think that'd be pretty wild.
That's going to be so cool. I couldn't imagine. I can't imagine. Wow.
Yeah, we got a couple of GoPros, too. We're going to be playing with them this weekend, fishing with Haywood up at Cedar Key for reds and big black drum, too. So
I think that is revolutionizing the way things are getting done right now. It's putting an eyeball everywhere.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, they're a lot of fun to play with. So, Greg is, Yak Hack's taking off. So we'll catch you next week. And he said he's going to have some pics posted up on Yak Angler. So, Mr. Becker, are you fishing this weekend?
That is my intent, sir. I'm just looking at the tides and wind finder now. Saturday's looking better than Sunday for timing.
Uh-huh.
But tides are looking pretty crummy on Saturday morning. There's, it's going to be like swishing your foot around in the bathtub, and there's not going to be much water moving
until
the afternoons. And then you've got the thunderstorms moving in the afternoon. So I may go out at the bottom of the tide at dusk and see if I can find the tailors up on the shallows and I should find them in the dark of the moon, so we'll see what works out.
Very cool.
Where are you going?
South Shore, probably.
South Shore where? Sorry.
South Shore, Tampa Bay.
Well, I'm sorry, you haven't met Greg Becker. Okay. This is Dennis Spike. He's from Northern California, kayakfishing.com.
Hey, Dennis, Big Fly Reel. It's great
nice
to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah, absolutely. No, South Shore of Tampa Bay in Florida.
Nice.
No.
You guys live in, I think, the fishiest land in North America.
Well, it's a significant part of the reason I moved here in December, and I'm doing my best to prove that to myself. So
I've seen a lot of that happen. I've seen guys just really happy to get transferred to Florida, too, kayak fishermen. That's funny.
Yeah. Well, I'm hoping that one day my wife will be the superintendent of the Everglades National Park, and then I won't have to work again.
So. Support you in the style to which you'd like to become accustomed.
That's right, absolutely. So I can fish like a girl the rest of my
goals.
Life. Mr. Crisp.
Yep.
Are you still with us there, man?
Oh yeah, still up here.
Okay. Yeah. Greg Crisp. This is Spike. Is we just lost Rob? Took off on us, but Dennis Spike from Kayak Fishing, he's in Northern California there. Check out his website. Dennis is one of the old school guys. They used to do them in these dugout things.
Let me tell you about my website. My website was published 14 years ago for the first time. It was the first site out there and has changed very little since then. But all we've ever had it up there for is when somebody goes to search kayak fishing, it's always been the first thing that came up. Now there's a handful of quality sites, but kayakfishing.com always seems to be there at the top. But I sold advertising at the site for several years now, and I never nurtured active forums, and I never included the forum stats in the website, and that made the whole thing, for 14 years, it's been a site just for people who are doing their first searches without any reason to come back to it. But the way things change, it's 14 years into that website already, and it looks like it's time to put a little life and spice and fun into kayakfishing.com so it's worthy of coming back to for a second look. And get information and get updated and grow with the sport. And there are so many good sites right now that, that I wouldn't want to come back and say, hey, this is the greatest sight, because honestly, I look at sites that I go, my site will never be as cool as this site. But again, we reach a big audience. We really reach a global audience, and we've helped literally thousands of entry-level anglers get into the sport of kayak fishing. But we're taking it a step further, and I'm real excited about that. So maybe some of those clips will get published there, too. You know, we'll be able to play them there, too. I think that would be a good thing.
Cool.
People are saying things about giant servers. I'm not sure what they're talking about.
Right.
But we'll move it forward.
So
somebody tell me a fishing story.
Well, we're going to let Mr. Chris give us a quick rundown on the – I was hoping Joey Cambria from up there was going to give us a quick hello tonight, but he didn't make it again tonight. But Greg was a participant in the Jamaica Bay Kayak Fishing Tournament 2 weekends ago. He was actually our roving man on the ground, and if you check back 2 Thursdays ago, what was that weekend, Greg?
The weekend, like the 12th, 13th of May.
Yeah, so if you go back and look at the podcast, Spike, from the 12th, man, we were talking to Greg was running around with his phone, and we were talking to folks from the tournament there.
Nice.
Yeah, so that was
spot reporting.
Yes, so we were talking to all the guys, asking them for pre-fishing reports for the tournament and stuff like that, and it was for a great cause. It supported the Casting for Recovering group. So,
yeah, I actually get the press release for the Jamaica Bay event. I'll make sure to
absolutely
send them next year.
We had D. Kelly, our other D. We're D squared now on Kayak Fishing Radio. So, she was up there, and Greg, and they were roaming the crowd, and it was a lot of fun, huh, Greg?
Yeah, it was an absolute blast going to that tournament. You know, the area is really cool. You can be in the middle of the city, and the fact that you can go and spend 4 days fishing, and, you know, if you wanted, not even really fish the same spot, you know, 4 days in a row was really cool. And getting, you know, 300-plus anglers camping all, you know, basically in one campsite and being able to walk around and see what people do. There were kayakers from Canada to way down south to trying to remember. I think the farthest I talked to anybody out west was a guy came out from Ohio and was fishing. You know, just people from all over the place, all great guys and girls, all there to have a good time and catch some fish. It was a really, really cool event, and raised a lot of money for, you know, a good, worthy cause.
If I'm not mistaken, the Jamaica Bay event and the Jacksonville event are far and away the two biggest kayak fishing events in North America, aren't they?
Yes, and they're both on the same weekend. So,
are you kidding? Unbelievable.
Yeah, yes, so that's the tough part about it, because they were the same weekend. Now, Jamaica Bay is a 3-day tournament, big fish for 3 days, and then Jayville is Jax is the 1 day on a Saturday. So on Saturday, with the 330 something that they had at Jay Bay, and the 400 plus that they had at Jacksonville, there were, you know, over 700 kayak fishermen engaged in tournament fishing on that Saturday. Is that just like crazy or what?
That's a real sport, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that hit me, you know, when I was thinking about that day, you know, and talking to Greg on the phone that night and everything, it was like, that is just way cool. And then you guys were like right there on the old seaplane ramps next to JFK and parked there, and I mean, the pictures were way cool with all the kayaks and everything. It was pretty awesome looking.
Yeah, it was you know, pretty incredible to see, you know, how many people, you know, could get together in one spot.
Yeah.
To, you know, a little sport like ours, that most people, you know, I have people talk to me at work and go, you did what?
Oh yeah, I got pictures of guys with big fish and stuff that I've collected, and I support the sport and say, you know, this is what you can do out of a little plastic boat. It's crazy.
Yeah.
I think I even got a picture of some guy with a beard holding a big bass up out of his kayak too. So I think that was Spiker in his world record sea bass there.
All right, I found the Jamaica Bay Fishing Tournament page on Facebook.
Did you?
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, I got a quick recap on my page, and it's also up on Yak Angler with the winners and everybody posted. So
sweet.
Very cool.
I'll take a look at that.
All right. Well, hey, we've just about killed our time here tonight, and I've got to get up early and take the dogs to the vet and so I can get on the road for fishing. We're headed to Cedar Key this weekend, going after some big uglies, maybe even take some time out to chase a tarpon or two. Probably have to soak some bait for that. But thank everybody for joining us. Spiker, it's good to hear from you, man.
Thanks for letting me jump in at the end there. It was nice meeting everybody, and I look forward to doing it again soon.
Don't forget, 7 o'clock Tuesday night, Isaac.
I'll be there. Safe
Check
seas
it out.
And good weather and no wind or lightning this weekend.
There you go, man. We'll send you the invites for the show.
Thanks, you guys.
Dee, good to hear from you.
Oh, nice to hear from everybody, and thanks for having me.
Yeah, we'll talk to you again soon. Greg,
have
sure. a good night.
Yep.
Night,
All right,
everybody.
Tight lines. We'll talk to everybody next week. Kayak Fish Radio. Check out our page on Facebook. Check out our friends, Real Fishing, RealKayakFishing.com, YakAngler.com, KayakFishing.com. Check out the blog page on YakAngler.com. You'll find Greg and all the rest of the guys there. And we'll see you next week. So let's see. What are we going to take it out with? All right. Good night, y'all.